Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. Happy December. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, for sure. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, who I get to see very soon, Brad Coleman. Right. Brad, I'm so stoked, man. I can't wait to have you guys over.
Yeah, I'm glad you get to see me, too.
So excited. So when this drops, we'll see each other next week. But when it drops, yeah. Right now it's like 3 weeks away. But how you doing, man?
Pretty good this morning, other than the frustration we've already talked about.
Listeners, Brad and I have been solving the world's technological problems, and nobody knows. Yeah. You know, I mean,
Brad, you all some time. A few minutes in bank speak is 10. If you don't wait 10 minutes,
that's right.
Try again.
Bank speak. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Windows of technology are very hard to navigate. So, listeners, we hope that you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And obviously, we are well into the full-blown swing of Christmas season. Again, when this drops, I know Sharon, the kids, they'll be in their last week of class. When does Tabitha get out? Do you know?
So they go through the 20th.
Yeah, Sharon, the kids, they've got a half day on the 20th. Yeah, it's really late.
But then they don't go back until, I know the kids go back on the 2nd, I think.
Okay, yeah. I think it's actually about right. I think that's a mirror of what Shares does. So I'm done at the end of next week, or when this drops, I am done. And then we don't go back until the 7th of January. Mm-hmm. But so
I'm done when Jesus comes back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. When do pastors have time off? When they die. Let's go ahead and do this at the top of the show. Coffee time, Brad. Let's get some coffee time.
Coffee time.
Coffee time. I'll cue the music. So, listeners, if you're regulars of the show, you will know that we are in and have been for about a month and a half now, collaboration with the Green Frog Coffee Company. I love going to Green Frog. Man, I love going to Green Frog. The people there are super nice. They've got wonderful coffee, wonderful food. Today's coupon code, which will get you $2 off of your order, both in-store and online, all day long. Our coupon code today is HAPPY. Happy, happy, happy. Just one happy, though.
Yeah, just one happy.
Just one happy. It's not like $2 every time that you say the word
DJ
happy.
DJ doesn't let me make the code, or it would be, in quotations, just one happy.
Just one.
Yeah, happy's right. Not working. I said just one happy.
It's like the stories of the Walmart employees, you know, that like write names on the cake. Happy birthday, Kelsey, with a K and an IE. You know, like, what are you and talking about?
One of my favorite is, and under that.
That's right.
Write happy birthday.
So you want me to put all of this?
Yeah, and under that, write happy birthday.
So Green Frog Coffee Company, they are a coffee store here in Jackson, Tennessee, or actually stores multiple, but we are in a collaboration with the North End. But they're built on Christian values. They have been playing Christmas music since before Thanksgiving. They are my kind of people. They have had a Christmas tree up in their store since before Thanksgiving. Yet again, my kind of people. But they're built on Christian values. Their owner Tim is an outspoken Christian, and he wanted to have great coffee, which they do, built on or a great coffee store built on Christian values. And their coffee's so good that a snowman would drink it.
Did you ask me how many Christmas trees I have up in my house?
Hey, Brad. How many Christmas trees do you have up in your house?
Zero. There are no
None.
Christmas trees. There
Are you
will
guys
be at
like
some point
at some
Christmas
point?
tree.
Yeah. So you're shouldn't that like you
Probably before Christmas.
Yeah. Well, people are coming over. Get it up fast. So our topic today, related to the coupon code HAPPY, our topic today is happy. The idea that Brad and I are going to talk about is, I think one certainly that's not foreign to everybody. I should say foreign in concept, but I think that there's probably a lot of people who have had experiences where what I'm about to say is in fact foreign, that Christians should be the most grateful people on the planet. The
We should.
operative word there is should.
Yeah.
So let's start with this. Brad's idea was to have some conversation on little moments. So Brad, what is a God moment? A little moment like the God drops that kind of stick out to you for what he's done in your life.
Well, and I think the more you look, the more you find them. And that's one of the things that I want is to encourage people to be looking for those God moments. Lost a wonderful lady at church recently. She's gone home to be with the Lord. Cancer, by the time they found it, it was stage four and took her real quick. And really her, that's what she wanted. She didn't want people to have to suffer. She was, I've sat with a lot of people at the end, and she was by far one of the few people that was at like such a peace about just going home and being with Jesus. But
I think I can only hope to be that bold.
yes. Oh, no, same, seriously. So we had gone in for Thanksgiving. And it was like the next morning, I get up and I get a message that she passed. And so I'm sad. I'm grieving. She was actually worried about me last time I saw her, right before we left, in the hospital, hugged her. She's like, "You're gonna be okay." This is the lady who
You're
is
right,
dying of cancer, and she's like, "You're gonna be okay, Pastor?" And I took a step back toward her and I said, when you go home, I will cry. And she kind of like had a little bit of an like, oh, kind of reaction. And I was like, but I will also celebrate because I know that you are going to be with Jesus.
man.
And then, she smiled and she was a hugger. She hugged everybody that she could get to, but every Sunday, she would hug me to say, "I'm praying for you. How are you doing?" And if she could tell that there was something on my mind, she'd go, "What's going on?" And she'd ask, if something had been going on with my mom or something. If I'd said that a few weeks before, a couple weeks later, she'd be like, "How's your mom doing? Is that okay? Is that sorted out?" I mean, like, she was a prayer warrior. She was a Barnabas. It's wonderful. So I lost this, so we've lost this lady. So my heart's broken. And We were going to go to Walmart and get some stuff, but your sister had a craving for this chocolate that we found that has no like artificial or processed sugar in it. And apparently, for people who eat sugar, it tastes awful, but for us, it tastes amazing. It's like anyway,
Yeah.
it's not a commercial for that. I don't even
That's
remember what
exactly
it's called.
right. Yeah. After the show, you can tell me what it is.
But she was like, I don't think Walmart has it. But she's like, I bet Kroger does, because we were visiting family in the Kroger neck of the woods. And so we went into Kroger, and they did. We got some. And as we're coming out, some friends whom we hadn't seen in a long time are walking up. We don't live around here. We're visiting, 400 miles away from where we live,
Right.
family. And so here are these, these friends. And greeted them, and they're like, oh, we did a double take. I was like, that couldn't be them. And he was like, I wasn't even thinking, you guys being for Thanksgiving. I hadn't seen him in years. He gave me a huge hug, this huge hug. And so much more to the story. Your sister would get on to me probably for not sharing. Maybe I should. Gosh, it's just. So we ran into James, who is the guy who received my kidney,
Oh, dude. Oh,
who
wow.
we hadn't seen in years. And they're pregnant with number five.
Ugh.
They say they're done this time. They're done.
Dang. Woo.
But again, a small part of me with that story. We're not a big part of their life, which is fine. We're several hundred miles away. We weren't super close. Like, I didn't even know James before, actually. Like, we went to church together. But he gave me this huge hug, and like Tammy and I just kept talking about it, about like how God is working. She's like, one, you donated the kidney to James. So God made the kidney super close, because like we were like a super high match. They were like high 90s match for the kidney. It was such a great match. It was just a God thing all the way. She was like, so God cleared the, like he made you so that you give this kidney to James, puts it on your heart, you give it to James. Effectively, I hate to even say, saving his life. I tend to downsize the
Call
thing.
it what it is, dude. It's all right.
And she said, and then years later, you fall from the ceiling and you land on your left side
Gosh.
and
Oh
then
my
land on the
gosh.
side. And they told you in the hospital, if you would have had a kidney there, you most likely would have died before you got to the hospital. Because of the force of the impact, it would have ruptured the kidney.
And poisoned your body.
Yeah, the
Oh my
internal
gosh,
bleeding,
dude.
sepsis. This is like the doctors were like you not having a kidney on that side saved your life. She's like, and here,
That's
and she's like, so,
crazy.
but she's like, but stay with me, stay with me. So Miss Shirley, we know, was praying for you and praying for to that God would encourage you as she's living her final hours. She's worried about you, and we know as a prayer warrior that she's praying for you, that God will encourage you after she goes. And we run into James, who gives you a big hug, and Shirley is a big, she was the big hugger. So here I lose Shirley, Miss Shirley, and I lose those hugs, but I get this huge hug from James, and it was just like right after I had found out this news, because your sister was craving chocolate. Because that's how God, because God just works all this, and we're on the way back, and I'm kind of crying a little bit, and I was like, that I didn't even know I needed that hug that much. But again, like all of those things where I can look back on a lot of them and go, oh, look, that was God, that was God, that was God. So I think those are good too. But then in the moment, to be able to acknowledge, for us both to acknowledge, wow, God just set this up.
Yeah.
I was like, we weren't looking for them. They weren't looking for us. You know, we live so far apart. They've got their family. We've got our family. We keep up with each other kind of on Facebook a little bit, but for that to just all come together at the right time that I needed it the most.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is these God moments that to everybody else outside may not seem like a big deal. But to me, it was monumental.
Well, and I mean that's the thing. So I think, Brad, in just sort of the Western approach, right? The like the tracking all the way back to
Like
our roots in Rome.
gunslingers and
Yeah,
outlaw.
right.
No,
Yeah, the Wild West. Yeah, Billy the Kid. No, you know, tracking our roots all the way back to the way that Rome did it. In the Western world, specifically now, I think far too often what our culture wants desperately and has wanted desperately for a while to show is that if it's good for the masses, it's the best. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
in other words, that small God moment means nothing to anybody else that wasn't there. So clearly this, like, you can't use that as a way to really explain that God is a part of your life, because that particular story doesn't apply to anybody else except for you, and that's no good to the masses, which is complete and utter nonsense. I mean, it's total bogus. You know, like, and that's I'm not gonna unpack it because I don't even know the full breadth of it, but I know that's very intimately rooted in postmodernism. Having said that, dude, that is an absolute God moment. Why? Because that's like God speaking to you. In his own way, right? I mean, Eric Metaxas, and I'm certainly not going to speak for someone else, but I'll share the story that he shares, is that he had deep in his own heart this basic like imagery of what Christ would be. And as weird as it sounds, in his head, Christ is a golden fish that he would catch if he were ice fishing. I have no idea why. He like go look it up, you know, listener, go look it up. But one night he had a dream where this was his the you know the dream that he had, the story that he was bearing witness to. And there's something about dreams that make us think, like, is this fake? Is this not, you know, is this just total bogus? Because sometimes dreams are stupid. But there was something so surreal about it, and when he woke up, he knew that was God communicating to him. So yeah, dude, I mean, like, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. So listeners, you know, if you guys have had moments like that, shoot, let us know. And if not, and if you don't want to let us know, talk to somebody about it. Brad, for me, when you were saying, you know, like, this was something that you weren't looking for. There was something to me that brought memories back that I did not know until like I started making peanut brittle. Listeners, this is something I actually haven't shared on the show, but I do make peanut brittle. I don't really do it, you know, a ton, because I mean it's really time intensive. But I'm fourth generation, and Brad, I don't know if you know like the real backstory, but I grew up with mom's parents, grandma and granddaddy. I always grew up with, anytime that we would go to their house, she would always have peanut brittle. So I grew up that grandmama knowing that grandmama had peanut brittle. So my dad's parents and my mom's parents, they didn't really hang out hardly at all. Very, very, very different types of people. But I grew up with kind of like a certain level of kind of like animosity with grandma and grandpa, my dad's parents. When I started making peanut brittle, when Cher and I were in Oxford, Mississippi, the reason that I started doing it is out of nowhere one day, grandmama died in 2007, and it was about 6 years later, five years later, 6 years later, that all of a sudden I realized, gosh, I hadn't had peanut brittle in a long time. I have no idea, Brad, no earthly idea why that popped into my mind. But I asked mom, did she still have the recipe that grandmama had? So she gave it to me, and I started making peanut brittle. And it became like the new thing. This is what DJ does at holidays. So I was talking to mom and dad about it, and lo and behold, it's not grandmama that initially had the recipe. It was grandma. Did you know this?
Nope.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, time out. How the heck did grandmama get the recipe from grandma and grandpa? Because like they were just completely different families, different couples with pretty large, I'll say a pretty large chasm in terms of beliefs that would keep them separated. And I can't remember if it was mom or dad that told me that I guess it was like a family reunion or something, but one very rare time where both of them, both sets of grandparents were together, grandmama tried grandma's peanut brittle. She had it. And she said, "Oh my gosh, this is incredible. I want the recipe." And grandma was happy to give it to her. When I learned that this stupid candy became something that meant way more to me than anything else, because grandmama and granddaddy were always extremely devout Christians, like big time. And I'm not talking about, not just in routine. You could clearly tell when you were around grandmama and granddaddy versus grandma and grandpa who was in love with Jesus. I'll do it that way. And for this candy to bring these two families together, all of a sudden made this experience for me completely different. I actually went back and revisited every memory that I had of grandmama's peanut brittle, and it now meant something different to me. And just that little nugget of information is something that I began to cherish. Like this is seriously, Brad, this was like a God thing. And when I say it was a God thing, not necessarily that, like, how do I say it? It maybe not necessarily in the same frame of references, like as some people will call like a divine appointment, kind of like you running into James, right? But this particular candy, decades later, became something way bigger than it originally was. And whenever, every single time, no joke, every single time I can't not do this, that I make peanut brittle, I always think, this candy, for a small fraction of time, brought my grandparents together. The division of households was relieved for however long because of peanut brittle. And I love reflecting on that as this is a way that God began, if he hadn't already, God began to mend, maybe not necessarily broken relationships, but mend differences, right? So question here, Brad. Do you feel, and it's a loaded question, sorry, it's a leading question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you feel that Christians are the most grateful people on the planet?
I think it depends on the Christian. I've certainly met some that are.
Yes. Oh, dude, that's a great answer. Because those people, oh, they're golden. They are people you don't forget. Yeah. So outside, so other than this lady that you were talking about, who's someone else? Who's someone else, Brad, that really sticks out in your mind? DJ. Who is someone that sticks out in your mind?
There's
I've got this brother-in-law.
yeah. There was a lady in Ohio. I think she's gone ahead. She's with the Lord now too. After we left, she had passed. Her name was Miss Ruth. At least that's what I was calling her, Miss Ruth. In an electronic wheelchair, but just always thankful. Low income, didn't have much. Had lost her husband. Always cheery. Here's another one's God moment. So with her, right? So I'm in my office as a youth pastor years ago. I'm literally prayer journaling. I'm very anxious. I'm really struggling, and I'm literally just prayer journaling all of this. I'm just struggling, and she'd be like, "Knock, knock," and just kind of stroll, with their electronic wheelchair, whatever, into my into my office. She's like, "Can I come in?" Yeah. Oh, hey, Miss Ruth. She looked at me, and she said, "I'm really struggling today." And then she said, "No, but you know what? I'm just not gonna let myself struggle." 'Cause, God, and I don't remember all she said, but God's so good, and I'm just not gonna go there. Like, she's like, I'm just gonna praise the Lord. And she was just a joy. I loved her. She was eccentric. She wasn't everybody's cup of tea. Okay. Very, I love eccentric people. Very just, but loving, eccentric, could be loud sometimes, and just this seemed to be one of the just most thankful, grateful people, and one of the most happy people that I knew, whom God used at a time when I'm sitting there really kind of falling down in a pity party for myself and in prayer of like I'm struggling so much, and here's this lady who rolls in on this electric wheelchair to my office and goes, "Hey, I'm struggling, but you know what? I'm not gonna let myself struggle." And I'm like, I know she didn't hear me because I'm not saying it out loud. There's no way she can read what I
I
wrote.
know, man. I know.
But yeah, she was just another one of those people. And I mean, I can sit here and make a list. Definitely some of like I love it when you have an old saint of God and they smell like Jesus.
It's an odd way to put it, but yeah.
Just
I mean, I know what you mean.
I always think of Mexican restaurant. You go in a good Mexican restaurant, you come out, you smell like a Mexican
It
restaurant.
stinks. That's right. You
But I
get
mean,
put your
like you,
clothes in the
like there's
dirty laundry.
no doubt, like that you where you have been.
It's right, man.
You know, if you're on around a good campfire, like
Oh, dude, I love that smell. Burning leaves.
I have to take a shower. It's because until I've washed my beard, I can smell that campfire.
I know.
So that's the way I think about it. Like they've been around Jesus so much that they've picked up, they smell like Jesus, and it's just that reflection of his love. And so, and I'm like, I want to be that. I want to be more like that now, and I want to be that. I want people to be like, oh, Brad loves the Lord, and man, he's just so grateful. And no matter what he goes through, like you can just tell he's got Jesus, and he loves Jesus, and he reflects Jesus' love. I don't want to be old and bitter. I met people, and get it. I'm not trying to come from a place of judgment because you know what? There's a lot of people that deal with a lot of stuff when they're old. They've lost a lot. A lot of them are physically hurting. They're physically mourning the fact that they can't, like when when it takes everything that you have to just get up and go to the bathroom so you can come back and sit down and be
Right.
worn out.
Yeah.
I get it. Like that, it's hard not to be like cranky when stuff like that happens. But I'm like, I want to be like the Miss Shirleys and the Miss Ruths who are struggling with a lot of things, but they're thankful for the things that they have. And they're more concerned with everybody else than themselves. So Miss Shirley was anxious. I'm not going to get into her story because she will look, but she was anxious about the people she was leaving behind and how losing her was going to affect them. Like as she's in her final days, that was her biggest concern, her biggest anxiety was trying to make sure all of these things were taken care of for all of the people that she was leaving behind. Because when she would talk about actually her going home, I mean, man, she told me, she's like, I need you need to tell First Baptist Murphy. And again, that's our church home. She's like, you need to tell them that I am at peace and I'm ready to go because they need to know it. So I don't know who's out there that may be listening who's not First Baptist Murphy. Miss Shirley was at peace because she has Jesus and she was ready to go. She told, like, so this is how wonderful this lady is, right? When her doctor gave her the news, like he was struggling. It was a stage 4 lung cancer. She held his hand
And comforted him.
and comforted him.
Yeah, dude,
It's okay.
that's so awesome. All right,
It's
so
okay.
one of the things, Brad, that and I want to trail off. I want to spend a little bit of time here because I think it's so worth it. And in my lifetime, I have not heard a lot of these conversations. And let me preface why. I think specifically in our generation, so between people that are 30 and 40, when we were kids, I think we began to see a huge cultural
You
shift.
know that neither one of us are in that range anymore, right?
30s and 40s?
You said between 30 and 40.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But
Yeah. I'm giving credit to the people
30s
that are
and
yeah,
40s.
40s. Yes, 40s. But when we were kids, I think is when we really began to see this massive cultural shift for hiring young folks and beginning to see sort of, turning a blind eye to the older generation and more experienced. But there's something, Brad, that popped into my mind while you were talking about the lady in the electric wheelchair. I pray deep in my heart that when I'm a senior citizen, that I have the exact same approach to life. I'm not embittered because, yeah, you're right. Like the later in life that we get, the more I can only assume that we're going to suffer because our bodies are deteriorating, people are starting to die. Friends that we had are starting to, I mean, like just the end of life stages. But in amidst of all of that, why is it so important that we have those people in our churches, not to say, well, tell you what, we can be your nursing home before you actually head to one, but rather like we need your life experience. I need to know, I need to see in your eyes, I need to see in your life that like God is absolutely faithful, and this is the kind of joy that we can have when our life is way worse, at least on face value, our life is way worse than it used to be. And dude, those kind of people, oh, they are priceless. So the person I was thinking of, and ironically, it's another woman. Like your two people have been women, grandma and grandmama, but Rich Cottrell's mom. Rich, shout out to Rich. I'm gonna make
And
sure
his
that
mom.
I'm gonna make sure that I get to I tag you on the show. But shout out to Rich. His mom, June, was central to basically me having a grandmother while in college. Now, there is a moment of pure unadulterated wisdom that came out of her mouth before Cher and I left for Mississippi. I'd already been accepted into their music department. But Brad, I was going, I mean, Cher and I were having, it was just such a, it's such a life shift. It was terrifying for both of us. But I was having massive, I'm talking about massive amounts of doubt. Did we make the right decision? I mean, we haven't left yet, so I can still back out. You know, I mean, we were doing that whole, I was doing that whole dance. And June took us out to dinner one night. And I mean, because she was like a grandmother to me, I had no problem just kind of just, you know, emotionally venting to her. And Shara too. And I told her, like, I mean, you know, did we make the right choice? And what if the references, you know, the professors that reference that wrote references for me, well, like, what if I let them down? And this is what she said. She worked as an administrative assistant, a secretary, right? Administrative assistant for the Department of Education at Murray State University. And she worked there for, I don't know, 20 years maybe. And she, and this is what she said, DJ, I have seen enough of these references, and I've seen enough of, you know, students that go from master's to doctorate to know that when a professor writes a reference, their name is attached to it. They're not going to write a reference for someone who's going to end up being a failure. You have, like, you have purpose. You have been referenced for a reason. And I'm just sitting there thinking, this is, there is no rebuttal that I can give to this. There's no argument that I can give to this. And it's her compassion. It's her, it was her experience, but it was also her love for the Lord that gave her this, just this, you know, shut up, you know, and like you, like, I love you. And I know that the people that have referenced you, like, they are,
Just
they
a
believe,
holy shut up.
it's a holy shut up. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Listen, I love you. I'm going to say this real nicely, but shut
But shut up. That's
up.
exactly right. Yeah. Knock it off. Go and do what you know you're supposed to do. Oh man. Yeah, so I would agree, Brad, that some Christians, that it depends on the Christian. So one of the things that I think we've got a little bit more time that we can unpack just a little bit more. One of the things that I think our church culture does too well is oftentimes mimic the keeping up with the Joneses type of approach with culture. So from that kind of like from that respect, how have you seen discontentment in Christians? Not necessarily in the church, unless you want to go there, but how have you seen discontentment in the in Christians?
I've experienced discontentment in myself,
Yeah, that's
you
yeah.
know, when my focus is not where it needs to be, and
Walmart.
that's DJ. I'm already
Yeah.
telling myself, huh?
Yeah. Don't worry, Brad. I'm here to throw you under the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, certainly in the man in the mirror.
Right.
Let me switch it around just to say this real quick. When we're talking about the Miss Shirleys and the Miss Ruths, we're not suggesting that people need to come in and just act like they're okay. Because that's not the reflection of these ladies. You
No.
know, they're letting you know if there's something wrong when you pray for it. Hey, oh yeah, my roof's leaking, my whatever. Oh, and that sucks. They're just making the best of everything, and they're focusing on the good. And I think that's where I get myself in trouble. I was talking to your dad years ago, and I guess Tabby and I were probably just married and sharing, my struggles and my anxieties a little bit more with your dad as we were getting to know each other. And your dad held up his hand and he was like he's like, "Brad, we can have all these things," and he, moved his fingers, four fingers up and down. He's like, "We have all these things that go good." And then he put his thumb and he said, "But this one thing that goes bad. And we will focus on this one thing that goes bad instead of these four things that go good."
It's true.
And that's part of that is just the struggle with our humanity. So like we all have the tendency to do that.
That's right.
But I think the Miss Ruths and the Miss Shirleys and these others have learned to be better at focusing on the four that are going good instead of the other. And so I think with people who are discontent, or myself, a lot of times it's because we're focusing on that percentage of things that are going wrong, that Walmart made me mad. And I have a choice, right? One, I can take it personal, and it's not.
Whatever, Brad. Walmart is out to get you.
Just,
You, Brad.
I'm on their
You.
list.
That's right. You're on the list.
And I can, and I can hurt them by not going to
That's
Walmart
right.
because they're
Rebel.
gonna,
That's right.
because they're
Stick
gonna notice.
it to him, Brad.
And I could let it ruin my whole day. And there have been times when I've done that. There's been times when I have let it ruin my whole day.
Yeah, I
And
think
I
that
think that's where we get with the discontent is, life is full of sucky stuff, right? And every day is going to have its share of good and bad. And some days are going to be heavier on the bad than others. But yeah, I think with that discontent is because we're looking at the wrong things.
I also think that I'm going to interject here real quick that I know for me, and I'm overgeneralizing and saying, well, certainly if me, then everybody else too. But I think that misplaced righteous indignation is something, is something that we deal with. Like there really is a sense of entitlement if we have righteous indignation. I have been wronged. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Brad, you did not do anything to Walmart to deserve their system, just
Canceling my order.
canceling your order. Walmart
How
doesn't want you to
dare
get
they?
groceries. They don't want
Yeah, I
you to
know.
have
They don't, you
groceries.
don't want my money?
So, I think like for discontentment, in my experience, again, I'm going to put myself at the mercy of, of the jury. I think the discontentment is that I'm not focused on the God moments because I'm not looking at the four fingers. I'm always watching out for the thumb. And it's almost like I know whether if it's not me, then somewhere else there's going to be something that'll happen. And oh, I'm gonna have to deal with that now. And I don't focus. I don't sit and meditate and reflect on the ways on all the ways that God, in fact, has done more, way more and above, and to that point, I'm gonna it really sounds like some low-hanging fruit here, Brad. But it's true. Listeners, I've done my time. I shouldn't say it that way. I may edit that out. But like I worked a long time in food service. And there's nothing wrong with food service. So please don't hear me like bashing it. Because like, I mean, if you're good at what you do, you'll make pretty good money. But you I mean, you are thrust into the public the public specter when you work food service. And Brad, this is true. When I was finishing up my master's degree, I was a server at Applebee's. And every other weekend ish, I would work a Sunday afternoon shift. I hated working Sundays. Now, for those of you that are assuming, I did not hate working on Sundays because it didn't allow me to go to church. Actually, I got to go to church. Matter of fact, that was one of the things that I told my boss is like, I mean, Applebee's wasn't open for breakfast, so I didn't have to worry about having to miss church. But I explained to him, look, I can't make it until this point in time, but I'm happy to work the afternoon. I hated working Sundays because the rudest, cheapest people that I have ever served were Christians coming from church. And to that point, I don't want our listeners, I don't want our listeners to think everyone is like that.
Can I split a hair?
Split a hair, dude.
All right, they were church people.
They were church people.
Because Christian infers that you're little Christ, that you're Christ-like.
Go, Brad.
So they were
This
not
is our show,
reflecting.
man.
Yeah, so they were not reflecting that. I'm not saying they weren't Christian, right? I'm not saying that they weren't saved,
Yeah, but they
but
were
they were
church
not
people.
reflecting that title.
That's right. Yeah, and to that point, Brad, I am as guilty as they were of thinking that I have the opportunity, because I just let it slip out of my mind, to turn the Christian off, right? You know, like I don't know, being snarky about it. You know, I sat in church with my smile and I said some amens. I'm good. I get an opportunity to just sit down at a meal and think that everything should be catered to me. And you know, like I like
So,
it's where do you
I'm
want to go with
sorry, like so many things
that,
connect. No, like so many things connecting. All
Yeah.
right. So I think about the apostles arguing about who's greatest, right?
Right.
They're
Yeah.
arguing like who's greatest among them. And Jesus goes, if you want to be the greatest, you got to be the servant or the slave of everyone. And I think sometimes in our humanity, we're like, oh, so I got to put my time in down as the slave to everyone before I get up. No. What if, like Jesus is saying that's where it's at. I think that serving everyone, Jesus, who is God,
Yeah.
on the way to the cross, washes dirty disciples' feet. I will never get over that. And one of them was Judas, and that
Yeah.
blows my mind. Who
Yeah,
and
I
then
mean,
was.
yeah, he supped with Judas. Yes.
And
Yeah.
but I mean, he got down, he washed their feet, right? So sometimes we get this humanity. I think we go, I'm a child of the king, right? I'm a joint heir in the kingdom of heaven. I'm a child of the King of Kings, which is awesome, which is amazing. And like we should have that focus. But what that means is not what it means in our carnal thinking, right? If the King of England walks in, he expects for everybody to act like he's the King of England, right? So if his sons or their grandsons come in, like there's this expectation, you should treat me like I'm the king. And so I think if we're not careful, as Christians, as people who belong to Christ, who are joint heirs in the kingdom, like we can get that. Well, that means that I'm due. When really what it means is we ought to be washing more feet.
Yeah, lest we not forget that God the Father showed his great love for us in this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, like so to your point, Brad, you know, when the King of England walks in, he does expect that everybody bows to him. Jesus had the opposite expectation. He didn't walk around saying, "Excuse me, knees, please." Like, no, man, he just walked with us. Yeah, that's legit. That's good stuff. So to that end, listener, I doubt very seriously that I really need to say this, but I want to, not as, how do I word it, Brad? I will say this as an encouragement to pass along to people throughout the rest of the Christmas season and the New Year holiday, because we always have a very, very unique perspective, a unique window of opportunity to share joy in a way that our culture is not willing to receive if it's not Christmas time, if it's not the New Year's holiday. Be not not don't just be the hands and feet of Jesus in the way that you serve in the various ways, but in the way that you smile at people. If and when you get screwed over, it's just something that happens. Big deal. So they overcooked your steak. I'm sorry, dude. I really am. And if I was the grill cook, I can't promise that I wouldn't have done that. But if they overcooked, undercooked, whatever the case is, if something goes wrong,
If you're mad at Walmart,
if you're mad at
then you got to
Walmart,
call into the help center. It is
because
not the person at the help center
that's right.
who canceled your order.
How can you show that you are content with Christ, even when other people continue to be stupid? This is one of the, seriously, this is one of the reasons why I love this time of the year. I love showing, I love interacting. And to be quite honest, I'm almost ashamed that I try to do it more during Christmas than I do the rest of the year. But man, I love telling people Merry Christmas and smiling.
Let
Because
me say,
the hustle and the bustle can really take over.
I saw this happen one time. We had a church event, and I overheard this. This lady who had came, who was a clerk at one of the stores, because I know that because I'd seen her checking out, and she ran into this lady from her church. And she just lit up and she went, "You go to church here?" And she knew the person from checking her out in the store so many times.
That's awesome, dude.
And she was excited to see her. "Oh, you go to church here?" And that's who we want to be, not the, "Oh, you go to church here?"
I am the person that you cussed out. I am the person. Yeah. Let's not be those folks. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you guys. We really do. Brad and I love moments that we get to spend with each other like this. Brad, dude, I'm so excited about playing Rail Baron with you. I can't wait. And this is, again, like you were saying earlier, Brad, that this isn't really, we're not gonna promote other different products, but there's another game called Ransom Notes that we're gonna play. Dude, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. But listeners, you know what to do. Connect with us. I think I'm just gonna delete our Twitter account because I don't use it, because it's stupid. I can't, like, I don't know. It's dumb.
He's just
So
going to X
it's,
that
yeah,
Twitter
yeah, like, who
account.
cares? Yeah, I'm done with it. But we'll stay on Facebook and we'll stay on Instagram. Please connect with us. You can email us at menchurchstuff@gmail.com. Please, guys, we really want your interaction. We want to hear from you. We want to be able to connect with you, Brad and I. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear.
We want to know what's, and again, we love doing this, but we want to know what's worth our time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we're not just. I mean, we can have these conversations whether we record it or not.
That's exactly right, and we do. Yeah. So to that point, connect with us. And again, remember, if you're in the Jackson area, on December 16, Monday, December 16, code word happy on the north location of Green Frog will get you $2 off. Share the news with people. Let folks know that they can save some money and get some great, great food and great coffee. Beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too. See you guys.
Listeners, we will catch you next time.